Well, sir, it's late afternoon as we approach the small house halfway up in the next block now. And here on the front porch, we find Mrs. Victor Gook all by herself. Mrs. Gook is swinging gently in the swing, and her expression of absorption suggests that she's deep in thought. However, the lady's reveries are brought to an abrupt end by the bright voices of a near relative. Listen.
Say, can we use your telephone to call the fire department?
Anybody up on that porch want to get married?
Aye, aye.
Some people don't pay any attention to dear relatives walking along the street.
I was thinking about something and never noticed you fellas.
You are an unnatural wife and mother. I will pack my valise and run away to Peoria, Illinois.
Mr. Razorscum got back from Peoria this afternoon.
Is that a fact?
He's going back tomorrow.
He's an incorrigible man. He loves Peoria more than he loves me.
Willie, baby, will you run in on the library table?
Okay.
Bring out a letter you'll see on top there.
Okay.
I may have put it in the drawer.
Letter from Aunt Beth?
No.
We get some mail?
A couple advertisements.
Luther Johnson telephone?
No. I went to work and done a terrible thing, Vic.
Huh?
Gee, it's real cool in the living room.
What terrible thing did you go to work and do?
Opened somebody else's private letter by mistake.
How come?
When I got it out of the mailbox this afternoon, I glanced at the envelope and thought it said Mrs. V. Gook.
What did it say?
Reverend V. Gook.
Oh, That's happened to me a couple of times. At the office, I've got a preacher's letters by mistake. You see, his first name is Vincent, and when the letter just says V. Cook City, the post office can be excused for getting a little mixed up.
Well, did you open the letters you got by mistake?
No.
I did. I never paid any attention to that R.E.V. in front of the V. Cook. And another thing, it had Kleeberger's Haberdashers printed up in the corner. So, naturally, I thought it was a dun. You still owe Kleeberger's a little money, don't you?
I owe Kleeberger's $2. I always owe Kleeberger's $2. I intend to go through life owing Kleeberger's $2.
It's pretty serious opening people's private correspondence, ain't it?
Oh, I doubt if it's a jail offense. You simply made a mistake, and your mistake was a natural one.
I don't suppose I got any mail.
Hurry along with that.
Could I receive less mail than any other half-wit on the face of the earth?
What'd you do with Reverend Cook's letters you received by mistake?
Simply penciled in the parsonage address and give them to the office boy to drop in the mailbox.
Give it here.
How about moving over so I can sit down?
Sit on the railing or someplace. See, Vic? Doesn't that C look like a G?
Yeah.
And anybody's liable not to notice the R.E.V. there in front. Goodness, I'm Mrs. V. Gook. Naturally, I wouldn't waste a lot of time studying an envelope that had Mrs. V. Gook on it. Especially when the mailman dropped it in my own mailbox.
Sure.
Mom, I might understand you opened another party's correspondence.
This letter belongs to Reverend Cook.
By George, is that right?
I just glanced at the envelope. See how much it looks like Mrs. V. Gook?
Well, that defense won't stand up very well in a court of law.
What big shot is this I hear?
Well, it won't. A smart lawyer could have Mom behind bars in 5 minutes.
You cheer up and gladden, young lady.
Maybe you think the United States Postal Department isn't strict. Last night's newspaper stated where two guys from Kentucky got sent to a prison in Atlanta, Georgia, for getting funny with other people's mail.
Maybe when your mother gets sent to prison in Atlanta, Georgia, for getting funny with other people's mail, you'll be thoughtful enough to send her a box of homemade fudge.
Oh, no, but it is going to be embarrassing.
Why? All you have to do is hand Reverend Cook his letter next time you see him and explain how you opened it by mistake.
Ignorance is no excuse in the eyes of the law.
Run up Route 66 toward Towanda till you fall down exhausted and I'll give you a nickel.
No, but that's a fact. Man in Terre Haute, Indiana, choked his grandfather and put up the excuse he thought it was his brother-in-law. And the judge broke into a scream of scornful laughter and sentenced him to 40 years.
Russell, honey, you're frightening your poor old mother almost to death. Now stop it before she begins to sob and cry. Well, that's all you have to do, Dr. Sleech. Hand Reverend Cook his letter and explain about V. Cook looking like V. Gook.
Well, but it's a dun.
Dun from Kleeberger's?
Mm-hmm.
What's the odds? I revel in duns from Kleeberger's. I rub duns from Kleeberger's through my hair.
Let me show you.
No.
Huh?
If you show the contents of that letter to me and Gov, it makes us accessories. Makes us your confederates. Implicates us. It'd be better if you shouldered the entire guilt by yourself. Because if we all went to prison, there wouldn't be anybody on the outside to hire lawyers.
Tongue clamp, old pal. You become increasingly tiresome. If you keep up this fancy flow of remarks, you'll be banished from your parents' society.
Okay.
I'll read you what it says. Dear Reverend Cook, respectfully calling your kind attention to a balance of $4.50. Your original obligation as of June 15th amounted to $5. May we hear from you soon. Cordially, S.N. Kleberger, Sr.
The preacher's kind of slow paid.
Well, that's where the rub comes in. I don't want to hand him this letter all opened and everything. He'll know I've read it.
So what?
He'll be embarrassed, and so will I.
Oh.
Sure. Here's one of his church people that knows he owes bills downtown.
Well, everybody and their brother owes bills downtown.
Oh, a minister that way, though.
Well, the letter don't say that he's trying to swindle Kleberger's. It's just an ordinary routine done that they send out the first every month. Oh, holy smoke. What if you opened the preacher's letter by mistake and it said, Dear Scarchest, we've got the dynamite planted under the First National Bank and we're all set to collect the swag as soon as you murder the police force.
Well, no, but just the same, though.
You're too thin-skinned.
No, I'm not. But look, Reverend Cook made a $5 purchase in at Kleberger's store June 15th. That's over 3 months ago, and he only paid 50 cents on it. No, I don't see how I'm going to give him this letter and let him know I know he's behind in his debt. He'll feel foolish, and so will I.
Here's the big danger, Mom.
Yeah?
Here's the big danger. The incident will throw him off base.
How do you mean?
When he discovers you're onto his trick of jipping the clothing store...
I never said he was jipping any clothing store.
Well, anyway, he's jumping the gun when it comes to his honest debt.
He is not. Everybody's got bills, just like Gov says. Only thing is, I don't like to embarrass him.
Well, let me tell you what I was getting at. Reverend Cook realizes you know about the money he owes Kleberger's. All right, along comes Sunday. We all go to church. Reverend Cook climbs into the pulpit. He sees your white, nervous face in the congregation. He goes shaky all over. His fingers twitch. He can't think of his sermon. Suddenly, he can't stand the strain any longer and pitches over on his face. Thrown into confusion.
I guess we'll just have to keep you home from the Bajo a while.
Huh?
Too many picture shows makes boys' imaginations all wild.
Well, I'm only attempting to describe...
See, the thing is, when I hand Reverend Cook his letter and explain how I opened it by mistake, we'll have to kind of halfway discuss what's in the letter. That'll be embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
He won't hardly know what to say, and I won't either. And I'll probably get flustered like I do. What would you do?
Well, I think I'd hide down cellar till it gets dark. Then, about 3 o'clock tomorrow morning, I'd steal down dark side streets until I got to the city limit. Then I'd crawl along the hard roads, slinking in ditches and through culverts, till I was at least 10 miles...
No, but no fooling. What would you do?
Throw the nitwit letter away.
Yes, and rot in prison.
Short sleeve, old watermelon Ryan. You'll vex Papa with your foolish chatter.
All right. Yes, I hesitate to throw away somebody's nice letter.
It's a dun. They'll send him another one the first of next month.
Yes, that's true.
Say, Ike Niesuffer told me something down at the office this afternoon that was amusing in a mild way.
Did he?
That brother-in-law of his, Ed whatchamacallit, telephoned the other evening and wanted to borrow a length of piano wire. Well, thunder, Ike told him he'd just as apt to have a length of piano wire around the house as he'd be apt to have an Eskimo's igloo. He asked his numbskull brother-in-law what he wanted with a length of piano wire. And what do you suppose his brother-in-law said?
Who's that?
Whatchamacallit, Ike's brother-in-law.
Ike Niesuffer's brother-in-law?
Didn't you pay the slightest attention to me, Steve?
I'm afraid I'm still thinking about Reverend Cook's dun from Kleberger's.
I must remember to tell you another humorous anecdote someday.
I guess I will throw it away.
Yeah.
They'll write him again the first of next month.
Mm-hmm.
No harm will be done.
Mm.
Yes, I'll throw it away.
No, Mom.
No, Mom, what?
If you throw it away, you'll be miserable. Individuals can't throw away United States mail and escape. Even if the G-men don't catch you for 10 years, you won't have a peaceful moment. You'll toss and turn in bed at night and whimper in the darkness. And your hair will gradually turn white. And you'll jump at the slightest noise and think you hear voices. And your eyes will have a terror-stricken look and you'll be seized with fits of wild laughter, and you'll cry.
Boop, boop, boop.